What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to episode 113 of Cali Bricklick. And remember, you can find this episode and all previous episodes anywhere you find your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Sell My Invisalign In. And like always, we have Claire, the Plastic Architect.
Hello.
We have Ninja with Lyrics.
Lyrics? Questionable.
And today, we have a special guest. If you're familiar or if you go to a convention, you'll probably see this guy with a ton of like brick swag on his hat, around his neck. But Cody, how's it going, man? BBG Forge, how's, like, I don't even know what your handle is. I just call you Cody.
Yeah, it works. I mean, so my Instagram's just Cody00937 because it's, you know, super deep nerdy with Lego backwards and upside down and digits. So
that's nice. What that means.
That's what that means.
I just thought you just put random numbers.
Nerd alert.
Okay, well, I just felt like I was called out. But anyways, who are you, man?
I'm Cody. Cody Otley, whatever. AKA known as the King of Swag. I only got that a title 2 years ago-ish. So pretty happy about that.
It's a pretty swaggy shirt, though, I gotta say.
This is my personal logo for the guild.
So is a guild a secret thing? People not allowed to know what it is?
No, yeah. So basically, there was the BBG. It was the guild, the Bearded Builders Guild. My best friend Corey started it. And so then we made a hierarchy triumvirate dictation thing. So I'm one of the heads of the three. So I have the pirate logo. He has a castle crest shield. And then our buddy Star Wars Steve, or I don't know what his Insta is, but he has the Empire logo behind the guild. And then me and my buddy started the Forge as a business to do custom printing. So the guild is kind of the thing behind the Forge.
Okay. Ah, okay. All right. So, I mean, I remember the first time that I saw you, which was at Bricks LA. It was like during the ceremony, closing ceremonies. I'm like, dude, this guy has a lot of brick on his hat.
Yeah.
Like literally. It looked like a clown.
Was that in 20?
Was it the one before it all shut down? Yeah.
Yeah.
The last one.
I think it was 20.
I didn't have that many friends that were, at least here in LA, like, that went to these conventions. I had a few that I kind of met up with. So it wasn't the same as, you know, the previous one that I went to, which was Chicago. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah. Tell us about your, like, Lego life story. Like, what got you into Lego? What brought you to this point in your life?
First Lego set when I was 7, like most people my age, was the Black Seas Barracuda, the pirate ship, right? Yeah, that was, you know, good old 33 years ago. A year ago, I actually got it tattooed on my leg because, you know, why not pirate things?
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, it's because I met Aubrey. You know her, Mock Chura. You know, her husband did it for me. So,
of course.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like he's like the Lego man to get tattooed by at this point.
Oh, yeah. Lego come to Utah. Man. He'll hook you up. He does great Lego tattoos. So, yeah, that's where it started. I was 7 years old. Got that pirate ship. Started collecting. I had a tiny city layout in the good old days of ripe age of 93, the year of 93 when Jurassic Park came out. I had a nice little city layout, you know, did stop motion videos because I was a nerd.
What?
Okay.
Way back with those really ghetto cameras.
Yeah.
Click, 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 move, click, move, click. Yeah. So I did that for like a reflections contest in elementary school for an age ago. High school, you know, you start to lose that. At least for traditional AFOLs, you kind of start to go into that dark age, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I went to college, I still had a small city layout in my grandparents' basement because I lived with them in college, but I didn't really Lego a lot until I got married. And I actually met the people that are in ULUG, the Utah Lego Users Group. And that was about 14-ish years ago. And then,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it's all gone.
You're an OG.
It's been a hot minute. So I've been in the Lego thing for a while.
So you've seen like Lego seriously do some, like, at its low point, survive.
Oh, yeah.
And then to this point now where it's literally everywhere. Lego Masters, like, on mainstream media. Like, what is that like?
It's crazy to think, like, my first actual Lego convention was in 2012. So the reason I have so many bricks that's, I just hit 11 years of going to conventions.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So that's a lot. I brick around a lot. Crap. You know, I went from having no Lego store in Utah to getting a Lego store about, God, it's probably been 10 years now that it's been here.
What but I used fun. To have to like. So did you go on like grand opening and everything?
Oh yeah, it was crazy. Like grand opening, they had the master builder guys out there building a whole, our lugs like helping the guys mm-hmm. take the bricks in the back and tear them down so the kids can rebuild them. So they build the Hulk, right?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it was.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I learned about conventions in 2012 and then, yeah, I got a Lego store a couple years later and yeah, now I started my own Lego convention in 2014 called Brick Slopes. So I have a couple business partners that does that. We're about to hit our ninth year. Yeah. 2014. Yeah. Ish. 8 tries, 9 years. Something like that.
Wait, I didn't know you found Brick Slopes. I just thought you were like ahead of it.
Yeah. I'm one of the 4 owners of Brick Slopes. So.
Wow. Okay. I didn't expect this part, but like we see conventions like start and like come up again. Like for me, for example, Brick Soleil, that was like where I went and it's dead. It's gone. Not coming back ever. RIP, rip, as a youth would say. And I'm like hoping that someone takes the mantle and like starts it like burning again, which usually happens. We saw it in Atlanta, right? That happened down there. Kind of. And then, you know, we see in other parts of the country. I could have swore that happened somewhere else. But what is that like to like start and be like responsible for making a convention where Aprils goes? I feel like the pressure is like serious, especially now.
So now, because Bricks LA and Bricks by the Bay are gone, they are considered what was called a ANE or AFL networking event, which means they're recognized by the Lego group and they actually get support from the Lego group. It's stressful for me now because we're like now like the smallest convention that's an ANE. And so we have to hit certain things so that way we can maintain that status. But there's not many in the world that are recognized that way. So,
I mean, you guys are also further west, right? So it's possible that maybe some of those crowds will make their way over to Utah. It's a lot easier to go to Utah than it is to go to Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come to Brick Slopes. It's 10 hours from LA to here versus trying to go to Chicago, which is what, 30 hours to drive?
Yeah, like driving. I know people always are. Like they've been asked because like I've been doing like a few little mocks and stuff, but they're like, "Oh, are you gonna take them to Chicago?" Absolutely not. There's like no universe where I can take these like fragile, crappy mocks to like you know a 30-hour drive or like Shy's bringing an army, which is different. But yeah,
Oh man, I can't even fathom that takes so much setup time. Oh, hurts.
It's not the I have a system. It doesn't.
Okay. I mean, Flamingo mock to Brick World last year, and I got there and it was shattered because it was in a checked bag, and it was just I basically had to rebuild the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then you end up spending like a whole day essentially rebuilding it. And if you're fine with that, and if you're fine like just sitting at your table building it, like I am not. I like love to bounce around. You know what I mean? Like I'd take a nap. It's like a vacation.
Oh yeah, I've gotten too old now. I'm like, man, I don't want to do this. I just want to go hang out with my friends. Drink, have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just
there you go.
But so for me, I was like, at least I don't know, Shai, how you feel. Like, I went to Bricks by the Bay last year, and it was like really quite depressing because it was after Chicago, after rodeo. Oh no, maybe before rodeo. But and we had been to Virginia once, and Sans had been to the old. The one that ended last year, which whatever that one was. But so he had been to like a few at this point, and like Bricks by the Bay, it was kind of depressing because it was at the end of its life. And I mean, you probably know more like what the status is on that. You know, it says like, it's gone forever.
It seemed like Bricks by the Bay, I mean, I'm just assuming they kind of lost their networking status and they're just like, yeah, we're done with this. It's too expensive. We're not going to do it. Bricks LA got shut down because John and Aileen, John is the Canadian, Aileen's the Californian. She was running Bricks LA. He runs Brick Can. They got married, and now they're moving her mom to Canada.
Oh, come on.
It's mind-boggling to me that the most populated state in the United States doesn't have a Lego convention anymore.
Oh, no, it is crazy to me. I mean, I was telling someone else on a live the other day, I'm like, hey, come on, California friends, come over. I'll take care of you. You know, come to Utah. I know it's a little far, but at least it's close.
Mm-hmm. True.
Mm-hmm. But, for the record, there is Brickfest, but we're not counting those.
No, that's a different product and different company, a different target. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to make me real salty, I can talk about that. But.
Oh, yeah, I mean, go for it. I don't care.
No, they're not. The reason I started Brickslops in Utah is because I wanted my adult friends that were Lego fans to have a convention at home, right? Mm-hmm. That's why we started Brickslops. That was the whole motivation. Because we were going to cons. We went to cons for 2 years before, and it was like, man, we should do this at home because then, you know, it's at home.
See, that, yeah. That just makes the fact that we don't have one even crazier. Like,
yeah. Well, California. Oh, I mean, we joked about it and looked at like how could we do a Brick Slopes in California.
Mm-hmm.
But man, space it's and stuff expensive. Out there is stupid expensive. Yeah, yeah, we're a frugal expensive. People here in Utah, and it's
Well, Utah's where people from California go to save money.
It's true. Exactly. See?
Yeah, and I don't know. It would be a very like different experience. I also was thinking. I think there is one this year, but it's small. There isn't one in Florida either. And Texas is a super populated state, and you know, they're still kind of fledgling, you know,
Brick Rodeo, they had some weird drama where it was Brick Fiesta before and they were going to four cities rotation. Yeah.
That's very difficult to maintain.
They had problems with their web guy that did their website, and then they kind of fractured and became Brick Rodeo. And now they just do the two cities, Austin and Houston, back and forth. So this year it'll be Houston instead. I went for the first time last year in Austin where I saw you guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had a great time there. It was really
same. We had a good time too. But like, we definitely approached that trip though a little bit more like we were also visiting Austin. You know, Chicago for us was very much, at least for me, was like, we're at this convention center that's 10 minutes from the airport.
Yeah.
Chicago has nothing to do with this trip. We did like one day in the city, but like, and then same with Virginia. I kind of treat it like, at least these conventions, it's kind of like when you go to a resort for travel.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to Mexico for a resort with my family. It's like, no, you're going to that resort that so happens to be in Mexico that you're going to see zero of. You know what I mean? It's just like kind of one of those things.
You're essentially going to a place to hang out with your Lego friends at the same place.
Yeah, exactly. Like the city is almost irrelevant. You know what I mean? It could be anywhere.
Wow. Okay.
Brick World last year broke the record. I think that was the largest AFOL networking event in North America. So I think they had around 1,500 adult fans in one place at one time.
Separate from all the public?
That's just AFOLs, just adult fans. Holy crap. Not public numbers.
I would presume it's going to be bigger this year.
Yeah, and then, yeah, Brick Fair is probably the second biggest. I think they had about 1,000 adult fans-ish.
That is, you know, like, I love these conventions, and, you know, I've not been to Brick Slopes, but, like, these things aren't that special. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but, like, it is just a bunch of AFOLs in a big warehouse, and then they are the ones that bring the Lego. You know, as long as there's, like, someone, like, corralling the cats a little bit to some degree. I don't know, it's not like some professional convention that you have to, like, I don't know, that's multi-day, like it costs like $500 to get in. You know those like big conventions and stuff. This is like something else entirely that definitely feels grassroots. And it is wild to me that like 1,500 people went to Schaumburg, Illinois, you know? And it's like, for the sole motivation of like, look at my Lego. And like, let's talk about it. Let's hang out. I mean, I'm one of these people. I'm going again this year. Like I can see us going every single year for a long, long time.
My wife is asking that question. She's like, is this going to be a thing every year? I'm like, yes.
It's hard because like with the pandemic, you met all these new friends online with Instagram Lives and all these things that we did digitally for a couple years. But now it's like you can go to the convention and meet all your digital friends. Like, it's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. You actually get to hang out in person. Like, last year, we went to Medieval Times with a group of people that I had met on Instagram.
That's why I'm convinced if there's like one in like near Anaheim or like Orlando or something, if it was like if there was one near like a Legoland or a Disney park, it would be so much fun.
Well, so that's what Bricks LA would do is you'd have AFOL Day the Monday after the convention, and the AFOLs would go to Disneyland. So we went in 20. to Disneyland, and it was awesome.
That's so much fun. Yeah. Like we've gone with our Lego fans to Disneyland, and it was super fun.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of crossover, like, you know, people liking collectible niche garbage. There's overlaps with other hobbies, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just bought my first Loungefly backpack yesterday.
Fantastic.
Oh, see, yeah, that's a difference.
No, it's crazy. There's a lot of overlap with like that same style. Like, it's not surprising. Anyway, that's fantastic.
So yeah, and then on the West now, the biggest convention is probably Bricks Cascade in Oregon, Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's the one now. I'm so sad that LA is done. I had such good times there. The last one was like Claire's with San Francisco. The last one was kind of like, just because there was no public days.
They just did the A-Fall, not even
a quarter of how many people displayed the year before or the years before. I don't know. Like the last time when I saw you, I think that was like the hypest I've ever seen that convention ever. Cause that was like the season one of Lego Masters. Yep. It was like not like everyone was just like crowded into the biggest room they've ever been into. So going from that to like the last one was kind of like, oh, this is how it's going to end.
Yeah. This that's one right here.
And then that was it. Yeah. And then I went to Chicago, and then like everything else is just like has to kind of at least resemble it in some way. Like, how do you like compare yours to something like Virginia or Chicago or Cascade?
So Brick Slopes can't compare as far as size and AFOLs. I mean, we are a small con, but we are a mighty con. I'm sure you know the Hanlon boys, Joshua and John, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've been to a lot of conventions, right? A lot. And they confirmed that I give out more swag than any other conventions. So that's why I'm the king of swag. So I may not have the people there, but you will get swagged.
Well, that was, what's it called? Bricks by the Bay. We like got some surprising amounts of like retired sets. And we basically made more, like if we don't really sell sets, but if we had sold the sets that we were given as just like door check-in, we would have made more than the cost of the ticket.
Yeah.
Like, which was like kind of wild. It felt like some, you know, old AFOL was just like emptying out their collection. They just like donated it, which is like totally possible. That's like what they did, but
yeah, it is very possible. That's one I didn't actually make it to. So I don't have I was trying to get all of them in North America and then it went away and I was like,
no.
So wait, have you been to almost every convention?
So in North America, the only ones I haven't been to now that are recognized is Brick Can, I think, in Vancouver. That's this April. And then maybe, I don't know if Nebraska Brick Days or World War Brick is recognized, but I haven't been to those.
I don't think World War Brick is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one's not, because that's not following the Lego mantra of things.
No. So like what does it take for like a convention to be recognized by Lego? Is it the same LAN process? Kind of
it's similar to LAN, yeah. So we're just basically an R.
The third column.
Yeah, the third column. Recognize fan media, recognize AFOL networking event. That's what it is.
So you just apply. Like if Claire and I wanted to start something in California, like what would we have to do to get it done? Aside from obviously finding a place to do it, getting insurance, people to work it, finding dates. Aside from the logistical stuff like that, like what would it take for Lego to recognize the event? Like, will we have to do one first, or like
basically want it? It takes you a couple years, so you don't get it on the first try.
Yeah, you have to like
establish first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think their minimum requirements are like 250 AFOLs. They want you to show that you're networking with people throughout the world. So, like, you want people to come from foreign lands to your convention.
And then, like, what perks does Lego provide aside from bringing sets?
They basically let you do like a bulk order, and they do provide some sets, which is nice. So
have you had Jan come through yours or any of the
No, Jan hasn't come to us yet. He sent Sina last year. She came.
Okay.
I can't remember her last name, but it's Sina. She's one of the community engagement managers.
Okay, cool. So they have come through aside from like just providing support. So that's cool.
I don't know if you guys know. You probably know him, but Kevin Hinkle came our first year, actually.
Mm-hmm. Hey, good old Kevin.
Not that he does Lego anymore, but good old Kevin.
Did you get any of his stuff?
I actually have his Contraband Sig Fig that's in the flesh. So the Lego business cards are supposed to be yellow figs, but he did one. He was the only employee that did one in light nougat or the flesh color. So I actually have that.
And you wonder. Miss you, Kevin. I know you're not listening to this, but whatever. We still miss you. Yeah, come back.
He's still there.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude.
So yeah, he's still around. All right. So if you were to take yours out, let's completely remove your convention out from this list, like where would you push people to go starting now?
So
like if somebody were to come to you and be like, hey, I'll go anywhere around the United States, which convention should I go to aside from Slopes?
Then I would go to Brickworld just because that's where everybody else is going to go.
But what if they don't know anybody?
They don't know anybody. I would say the next, like, to get stuff or swag, Bricks Cascade does a really good job of giving out Lego swag. Like, Brickworld, not so good.
I got a $20.
Here's my $20 prize as I walk in the door for my $100 ticket. It's fine. People were leaving Brick Slopes with, like, duffel bags. Like, they had to check duffel bags after they left.
Dang, I bought a duffel bag in Chicago last year, so just to check it in and bring all from all the stuff that I bought. So
I would definitely push people to go to, because even if they've seen people online, it's cool. You can go there and everybody seems like they're going to go. Like right now they sent out an email and they're having record hotel bookings. Everybody's going to go to Chicago this year. So if right now, today, if you need to go to a convention that's not Brick Slopes, go to Brick Slopes.
But Brick Slopes first, yeah.
But go to Brick
Slopes first.
So how long do you think until Slopes will get into that type of feel? I mean, it doesn't have to be at the level of Chicago, but you said that it's pretty small. I've never been.
Yeah.
I hope you go. Like in comparison to like size with people being involved, you know, AFLs being around, like social media influencers wanting to flock to it. Like how, like what's your prediction of at least getting to that level?
You know, so there's a lot of conventions that are not very good about being supportive to like content creators. Like I have some friends of friends that have had bad experiences at conventions. Like the owners haven't taken care and caused problems, but I'm more open to those kind of things. Like, we were talking about setting up an influencer things where if they wanted to like meet their general public and have like a booth at our convention and do that kind of stuff, we would set that up. We want to set up like affiliate links so content creators could send people to our convention and get kickback from that. So that's something different that we as Brick Slopes are doing versus the other conventions.
Mm-hmm. That's already a big change.
Yeah.
It's hard because they're like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it seems like they're very much like, you know, you don't have to answer this, but they seem like they're a little bit like grassroots events. Like, they're not like, they don't have huge margins. You know, it's not like this like high profit situation. I don't know. Chicago kind of seems like it is at this point, but like the rest don't really, you know? And so I think it's hard because it's like,
oh yeah, like we're cheap. Like, we can't afford anything. Like, if we could buy everybody hotel rooms, we would do it. But
yeah,
only Brick World can do that. Does
that with like some of the Lego Masters and stuff like that. So you know that at least their margins are obviously like a little bit bigger.
That's the nice thing about Utah too, is like our hotel rate is 114 versus Chicago, which is 160, right? So it's
that's significant.
Especially, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the food here is cheaper. The travel is cheaper.
So well, Utah's also objectively nicer. Like, it's like a prettier place to be and visit than Illinois.
So when I went to Chicago in 2019, it was my first time there. Mm-hmm. I was emotionally damaged from the traffic. Like, we stayed in an Airbnb with my friends. There was like 15 of us in a house. But I'm thinking it's Utah. Oh, 19 miles? It's going to take 20 minutes to drive 19 miles. No big deal, right? No. It was like hour and a half to drive 19 miles. We went to Walmart. It was 5 miles away, 45 minutes. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't.
No, Chicago is like, if you can, it's like stay in the hotel.
Yeah.
And like, do not leave until you take your Uber to the airport.
Oh, yeah. So I stayed in the hotel last year. Way better experience. But in Utah, it's not that bad. Like, we had a couple people go down to Southern Utah after the convention, do the Red Rock things, you know.
I was going to say, I feel like there's more. Like, Chicago's like a city. It's like something to see.
I'm sure you know Mark and Steven. So we had those guys as our keynote speaker last year, and I took them into the mountains because they're from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And they had never seen mountains. And they were like, Steven was freaking out. He's like, take a picture of that, Mark. Take a picture of that, Mark. Like, he's just blown away by these rocks. I'm like, they're just a bunch of rocks. Like, they're just mountains. It's fine.
They're just mountains. But I know. And it's like, they're...
It was pretty funny
everywhere.
To see.
Yeah. But. I think it is nice that it's not... Like, I'm looking at the website now. It's August 25th of this year. It's like a good chunk of time after... Chicago, which is like a nice jump, you know. I think there were, I remember last year there were other conventions that were like close to Chicago, which felt like
First weekend of August, I think, in Virginia.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like it almost suffers because of that, because people are like, oh, well, it's too much, it's too close, it's too much. Unless I'm local, I'm not going to go to it. I don't know. I wonder.
Brick Rodeo is the 3 weeks after Chicago in July, right after the 4th of July. Last year, I actually went to Chicago and then Brick Rodeo right after. It was like two weeks in between. That was a lot. I was like, whoa, that was...
Bricks by the Bay was in between the two. We did all three. That was we wouldn't have done Brick... I mean, we live here, so it's like...
Yeah.
That was our local one, but it's still like an hour and a half south of us, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Man, we overdid it with the conventions last year. I don't know how many we're going to do this year. But I think like we might go to this Orlando one. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I don't know if that's like an adult one or if that's like for children. And I don't know.
Well,
hard to tell.
I think the Orlando one is the same guys that just did the Atlanta Brick Co.
Okay.
I think it's the same guy, and he said he was going to do a convention in Orlando. So
it looks like it's the 18th to the 19th.
Yeah. So, but they're currently not recognized as an A&E, which it doesn't have to be, right? But it definitely. I went to Georgia last month for that one, and it was a nice experience. I had a good time, had fun with friends. They met up. And
I was going to say, how was that? Was that like, this one's in Kissimmee. So it's next to Disney World.
Right
next to
Disney World. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's a new way.
So they took my idea.
There it is.
That has potential.
Wait, can you talk a little bit more about Atlanta and like tell it? Because it is the newest one.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, Aubrey Friss... Mm-hmm. told Aubrey Mokchura to, she's like, oh, we have a convention, you should come down here, because Brick Fair was going to stop doing Alabama. So he's just like, that owner guy's like, nope, I'm done with Brick Fair Alabama, it's just done. So then they're like, oh, we'll do one at home in Atlanta. And so yeah, Aubrey Friss convinced my Aubrey to go, and then Aubrey's like, hey, I'm gonna go to Atlanta. And then I'm like, oh, I'm easy, I'll go. Then our friend Susan went, and then our other Instagram friend went, and it just kind of all compiled really fast. A lot of people are like, oh, we're going to go to Atlanta too. So like Ethan and Dom were there. Joey from Legoland, New York was there. There was a bunch of people.
Apparently there were a lot of people there.
There were like about 120-ish adult fans. So
have you gone when it was Brick Fair?
I've only been to Brick Fair Virginia one time.
Okay. I was going to say like, how does it, if you knew how it compared to Brick Fair versus Atlanta BrickCon.
Brick Fair was a very different experience for me because that was like 1,000 AFOLs, but that one felt like a lot older crowd with the random section of young kids. Like the Instagrammers and the TikTokers, there was like a little tiny pocket of them, but then the majority of those 1,000 AFOLs at Brick Fair was like these really older than me, right? I mean, I guess I'm basically an old-timer, but...
I feel like it's like that at all the conventions. I mean, like, you could even say the same thing for Chicago. I mean, a lot of lugs were present. Obviously, there's a huge, like, influencer, like, presence. Like, but there's still, I would say, a lot of, like, you know, the OG, very simple, I'm there because my lug's there, I'm there because my friends are there, not involved in anything that has to do with media in Chicago still. And I don't presume anything with Brick Fair.
Yeah, totally. Same way. But then, so from Atlanta... Atlanta has a big lug there, Peach Lug. You know, all of those guys were there, like Old Great Bricks, Fazoom, I'm sure you know him. Dana, that has the monochrome. I can't think of his... Everybody changed their name. See, it's so hard. You used to know people by, like, their Facebook profile and their name, but now it's all screen names and struggle.
Let's go into this a little bit about, like, not having social media influencers. I know you can't dive into specifics, but, like what was the premise of, like, why... these conventions don't really cater to it, because Chicago should be a good example of that. You know, you have all these people bringing in their friends for one, and then obviously their own audiences. So with you trying to like use that to your advantage, like why aren't these other conventions doing that?
You know, I know most of the owners of the other conventions, and I think they just have more of that old world mentality of, oh, we just have our lugs and these Lego people are going to show up every year regardless. They've been around for a while, so they don't need to worry about it. Brick World will be here this year, and it'll be here again in 10 years, right? Like, Brick World won't really go anywhere. I don't see it going anywhere.
But I mean, they obviously like want to market, right? Otherwise, Lego Masters wouldn't be incentivized to be there.
But they don't have to. That's the crazy part, right? Brick World has been like, the transition you kind of talked about from like early convention days to now, mm-hmm. Lego used to like take new sets and actually do set releases at conventions. And then they pulled back on that. They used to send out Lego designers and they've pulled back on that. And there's been a lot of changes over the years where like Lego was sending people to like BrickCon or Brick World, and you'd go to those places to see like these new exciting Lego things. But now they've pulled all that back and it's all digital and they don't do that as much anymore.
It's just cost cutting. They're like, from a marketing perspective, they don't see the returns.
Yeah. So like, I think they sent Stuart Harris last year to Brick World from the Lego house, right? Because they wanted to market the Lego house. But then there's like that group, Euro Bricks, they always do a big collab and they do it at Brick World, right? That's kind of they don't have to necessarily market because they know it'll just happen on its own. Where for me, I'm like, I need to market because I'm tiny.
I mean, it's just wild though, because it's like influencers, like if you're going to incentivize someone to come, it's like, I just think that influencers have like a lot more power than Lego Masters.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. And like, Lego Masters
are cool. One of my best friends is a Lego Master.
Like, yeah. No. Lego Masters are great. It's just the nature of the show. It's reality TV. It has a shelf life, right? Like, that's unfortunate. And like, the fandom is for the show, not the individual. And like, people will probably argue with me on that point. But I feel like there was this like sweet moment where convention owners could have gone after the big guy, the big Lego influencers, and been like, come, we'll just like give you a free ticket and a space to display. And they would have done it like willingly. Do you know what I mean? But I think now, because a lot of the mega influencers now, they've learned how to monetize themselves and they have learned their marketing value, really. And to their benefit. And so like, now they know that like, their time is cost.
Yeah.
A certain point. So it's almost like maybe it would be behoove, to kind of get after some of the smaller ones or some of the people that like want to kind of almost like donate their time because they want to support like, the Brick Slope cause or something like that. Like maybe like if there's like a local one, I don't know. I think that would be interesting. I do think there was like a sweet time, like maybe a year and a half ago or like right when convention started again, where I think those influencers would have done it. But to be totally transparent, I think those other convention owners kind of soured it.
Oh, I know. I know exactly what you mean. I've heard horror stories. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's unfortunate because it could have been like a very symbiotic relationship. Actually, not symbiotic. It is like one directional in terms of like the benefit, like the convention does benefit more.
Yeah.
But I mean, like if you guys like had high margins and high profits, you would have the freedom to like, bring in people and they would bring in their crowds, which is like, I mean, you've seen what those crowds can look like.
Oh, yeah.
And it's wild. And you know, what's interesting is like, I feel like because of said convention owners, the dynamic between those like old school AFOL and influencers has gotten even worse. Like,
I agree.
And which is unfortunate because I don't think that's anyone's fault, either the old school AFOL or the influencer, because it's, of course, an AFOL is not going to like an influencer line meet and greet, blocking their mock, knocking over their mock, anything like that. Nobody wants that.
No.
And then like, I remember I was standing with like Holly from Holly on Film at Brick World, and a guy who was, there was a line of people talking to her, and her and I were just like chatting or something, like, and a line would naturally form to talk to her. And then this old school guy who had this like this mock that probably cost him like 40 grand and was a beautiful, and he spent his life on it, and no one was paying any attention to it because they'd probably walked around, seen it already, had nothing to say about this thing. And he was like, wait, are these people waiting in line to talk to you? He asked Holly that very politely. And he's like, why are they like waiting to meet you? And she's like, oh, I just like sit in my bedroom and make videos online. You know, she completely like diminished like what she does.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, but it's also, she's not lying. And he was so confused. And it was like, he was almost insulted. Do you know what I mean? A little bit.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's kind of an unfortunate situation, I think.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, at least my approach now, we've been talking to a few people, like, what could we do to make that a better experience? That's why we talked about like doing like an influencer booth. It's funny you bring it up, because like the Lego Master panels that happened at Brick World last year, you saw a big shift of AFOs not stay for those panels, right?
Yeah.
At least that's what I noticed. It seemed like a lot of people weren't, they're like, yeah, you were on the show. Okay, cool. Right? But then, like you said, there was a line around Holly on the floor, right?
And like people running after Emily.
To be fair, for that instance, not to diminish like what you were saying, the panel was like during private days, you know what I mean? Versus like the public days when people would actually know. Like if the panel was maybe during the public days, that might have been a little bit better for them. But you know, it's. I don't think that's quite the same in like if you were to weigh it, but I do understand like
the public is probably more interested in the Lego Masters, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
Than the AFOLs that already know who they are. And
Like the AFOLs are not, don't care. Like a lot of the Lego Masters were AFOLs like last week. Do you know what I mean?
We're gonna go see them at the bar right after this anyways. Versus like someone like Holly, for someone like Holly or Emily or Ryan, you know. For them to not have a designated area for people to go to, like if you catch them in the wild, you're going to want to talk to them if you can. And if they're already stopped, implanted somewhere, no matter where it is, like talking to fans, you're going to want to try to get their attention too. And that's usually what happens. The influencers, that's kind of not their fault. They're just, they don't want to be rude. They want to like, you know, be appreciative and, you know, give time to people. So unfortunately, just like in Chicago, for an example, it really isn't like nowhere comfortable to do that during public days.
Last year I was with Ryan at Virginia. Sorry, no, 2 years ago. And he decided to like plant himself at the Star Wars area, which was like good because he had like a barrier. Not that he needs to have a barrier, but he had like an area where he could stop and like talk to people. But there was like a couple mocks around him that like didn't get the attention. And so this next year he was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to like take over that mock. I don't want to do that. He like didn't want to cover that area. Like I had gone and like very kindly, very professionally been like, hi. We've got a little bit of like a crowd control situation. One, it's a fire hazard. Two, it's, you know, I was like very clear as to like, can we like just borrow one of these spare tables? I can go set it up. Sans can carry it. We can put it in the back where there's nobody. Is that okay? And they were
Did you talk to Todd?
I talked to multiple people. Yeah.
Todd's the owner of Brick Fair Virginia.
Yeah. I talked to Todd and like,
he's interesting.
And unfortunately, like instead of them being like no directly, I was sent down some like just rabbit hole. It was really actually disrespectful to my time as well, and to like which is fine. I don't need to like bring that up, even though I just did. But it was very weird. It was like a weird, you know what I mean? It's like when you're on the phone with like a call center or something, and then they're like press 2. And you press 2, and then you press 3, and then you press 5, and you're like going for an hour.
Kind of thing.
Basically, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. And I understand that they're busy, and I've planned like huge events before, and I was like trying to be very, I was like, on your own time, is that okay? And you know what? If they don't want those influencers there, they should just be like, no influencers. They should just not be allowed to go to that convention, and then whatever. You know, I don't understand. I feel really strongly about it, because I think it's like, and then you hear them being like, well, how do we make like Lego for the younger generation? Like
the younger generation is the influencers.
You cannot have this like more served on a silver spoon or platter. You know what I mean? It's like, and then a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there's a whole thing of like, how do you get more women involved in the hobby?
You know, that's funny because Atlanta, that was the ironic thing for me is usually I'll go with a posse of people to a convention, but my posse consisted of like 6 women and me, which was a totally different experience. It was awesome. A lot of indecision, but it was awesome.
That's great. I mean, that's fantastic.
They all wanted, I mean, it was like Aubrey Friss and my Aubrey, and then Susan from Lego Masters and Nicole and Jean, the Funko Pop chick in Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
And
she'll always be the Funko Pop chick.
Yeah. My friend Jen was there. Like, it was
it's just lots of ladies, which is fantastic. But the thing is like, okay, if you, and you know, obviously this is probably not the right panel to talk about it, but like, how do you get more women involved? It's such a loaded question.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I think it's definitely growing. The women builders are definitely out there. They're definitely I'm sure you saw the TikTok that Holly and Jane and Aubrey did.
It's growing, yeah. But
so, like, that was the really first time I actually spent time with Holly. And it was pretty funny because I was like directing this weird TikTok thing that's happening. And I'm like clicking the button and I'm like, 3, 2, 1, and fish. And they're all fishing. Oh my gosh. It was.
That's, you were basically a photographer all weekend. No, but yeah. It's still a very specific type of like female participant. It's still like someone who embraces their nerdums. It's someone who's like found confidence in that independent of the hobby, not through the hobby. Do you know what I mean? So it's,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a conversation about destigmatizing toy collection for women. Which it actually isn't socially acceptable. If you really think about it, the only way that a lot of people justify it to themselves is by mock building or content creation or doing something else in addition to the hobby other than like whatnot. I don't know. It's a different conversation to be had. I think the conventions are a really good place to maybe like take that away. But Brick Fair Virginia, I would say if you're like a lady who wants to like meet other women who want to do Lego, don't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that, like I said, I definitely had an old world Lego vibe in Virginia, more old school, traditional lugs.
Yes. If you want to experience that, then go ahead. Yeah. But yeah.
Come to Brick Slopes. There's lots of ladies. We have lots of lady
buildings. Yeah. I feel like, yeah. Utah feels like a good vibe like that. And also like the ladies are all like pretty diverse in terms of like backgrounds and interests and stuff like that, which is pretty
cool. Yeah. You got the extreme, like my best friend, Susan, she's a little older than I am. But she was on Lego Masters. Mm-hmm. She's been a collector forever, right? Mm-hmm. Then you've got my friend Aubrey, who's very different from her. They're very different extremes. They're both moms, but they have very different tastes, very different builds. Like Susan loves trains. Aubrey loves elves, right? It's a very different dynamic. But, you know, they come together and it's good times.
Is good.
I feel like if you just want to paint any convention in a single plateau of like what they are and what they bring, it really just takes recording it, making a video out of it, and putting it out there for people to notice that it exists, for one. And then when you add another element of like, you know, making the video fun of, instead of just showing, you know, no shots against, you know, Beyond the Brick, but like you're just showing the mock, right? You're not really showing the atmosphere. You're not showing the events. You're not showing the crowd. So, you know, you don't really get a feel of what the convention life is like. And if you want to take Atlanta BrickCon as a pure example of this, right? For the most part, it kind of came under the radar with a lot of us. Like none of us paid that much attention to it until like everybody started posting stuff on Instagram. Like when you start seeing one person post something, then the other person posts something, like, oh, they're there. Oh, they're there. Oh, snaps, they're together. And then they start filming not only like, you know, little selfie photos of themselves and friends, but then they start showing outwards, like being doing lives or they're showing the crowd. Then you really get a sense of like, oh crap, it's huge.
You know what I mean? Their public turnout for that, it sold out. It was insane. Like the actual public, you had to swim through people to get in there. And it was...
And we would have never known that unless they would have done the same thing. So, like, it really... Like, it's kind of sad that a lot of these convention owners don't really take note of that. Like,
well, it takes... their last year, the last... So, Atlanta BrickCon has done it twice. Last year, they were in, like, a high school gymnasium. So, then they upgraded to a convention hall, and it still wasn't enough space. So, he knows. He knows what he's doing.
But, like... If you want to hire, it's good that you know that, but for any new convention out there or anyone out there that doesn't really think the like this world, not just social media, but like, sorry, like the influence, but social media in general, it pays a lot to, you know, turnout and like reliability and like, oh, snaps, I want to go there next year. Like Chicago being like pretty much the main like one of that was because of the FOMO from last year.
Yeah.
Like how many videos were made of Chicago? Not just like simple YouTube videos, but like Instagram photos, group photos, like, you know, stories. And then obviously the mocks and then like who's there, who's there. It
it definitely really felt like, oh damn, I totally missed out, and I'm definitely going to be there next year. So to kind of like pull that type of attention, just to get like a bunch of people there and make it look like it's a great time. It's almost like Neighbors 2. I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Neighbors. No.
I don't. I think I have, but like it's one of those like in one ear out the other.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the second one right there has to do with the sorority, and they're pretty much making like to make a party video. They like there's only four of them in the video, but they're hyping it up so much that it looks like a good time. Then everybody shows up. It's like that type of thing, like where you know you want your party to be cool, then make it look cool, like out there and put it into the world. So I feel like conventions, aren't doing it themselves, the people are, and it kind of sucks that, like, you know, people like Ryan don't get the credit that, you know, he probably deserves, but, like, no offense to the Lego Masters, they get all comped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, just, I mean, I have offered Lego Masters and influencers alike free passes to Brick Slopes, because that's what I can do, right? I mean, like, our keynote speaker, we cover their hotel, and that's about all we can cover. They have to be here.
you're gonna get there.
I mean, I'd like to get there one day. I'd happily pay for everything because, like I said, king of swag. You know, I'll swag it all away if I can.
Do you think about moving the date then?
You know, we actually used to be May the 4th weekend. Like we did a lot of Star Wars things in the early days, and it was okay. Our best year was actually our first year, which was 8 years ago or 9 years ago, which was crazy. Oh, and then last year was probably our second best year.
Okay. So that date's fine then.
So yeah, the August dates are actually working pretty well for us, at least for public numbers. Like we need public numbers to survive. Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. Kind of like that's in summer before school starts.
Well, so ours is kind of like right after school starts, but then people are at home because in Utah in the summer, you go on to be outside in the mountains. You want to be hiking. You're on family reunions and vacations, and we don't want to compete with all that stuff. So we do it right at the end of August when everybody's like, oh, they're in school, just barely. They're at home. What are they going to do this weekend? Oh, we're going to go see some Lego, right? We've done it 2 years now in August, and it's worked out a lot better for us.
If you don't mind me asking, like, what are your numbers like? Because you've been shooting numbers again for everybody else?
In comparison to Chicago? What is that like? April numbers, we are around 250-ish.
Okay.
Aprils. Yeah. Chicago is like 1,500-ish Aprils.
And then
public numbers, I think we pulled in around 6,000 last year public.
For Brick, that's a lot of people.
It was a lot. And I felt like Brick World was less than that. I don't think they had the same crowd-wise. I think the Atlanta BrickCon public numbers were insane as well. But I don't know what they were. I just know they were insane because there were so many people there.
Is it so many people shoved into a tiny space?
Yeah.
Or is it like, if it was in a bigger space, it wouldn't feel like so many people?
That would be part of it, but there was a line out the door. Like there was a massive line. It was a lot of people.
Well, before we like just completely take over the entire episode with convention talk, let's go into BBG Forge right quick. Cause
told you I had too much convention talk. Yeah. I've done too many. That's the problem.
Bring back just to kind of recap the convention stuff, but yeah. BBG Forge, it's a company, another company that you started.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, my best friend Corey was working at Bricks and Minifigs. He left that company. He was doing printing. And he's like, you know, we could probably do this. And so he's a stay-at-home dad. And I was like, you know, I could probably invest in it. And why don't we do it on ourselves? And then we can just make the cool things we want to make. So about a year and a half ago, I started accumulating all the printing things and basically, so my buddy, my best friend, could have a day job. So, and how it happened. But now it's nice because it's like, oh, we can print cool things and do people's bricks. And, you know, I'm not necessarily in it to make the money, but it's sure nice. I can make a sig fig for somebody to give out. So not recommended to sit in your pocket. So don't do that. Don't let them sit in your pockets. The body heat is bad.
So you're in the beginning stages of this, and we've had
we're 1 year in, basically.
1 year in, investment into your equipment isn't going to be like Citizen Brick quality because they're
pad. So you know, Citizen Brick is a pad printer, and I'm sure you know the difference. Pad prints where it takes the rubber ink stamp thing, presses on the ink, presses on the piece, right?
Yep.
That's how Lego does it. Ironically, at like Legoland Discovery Centers where they have those machines where you can print on minifigs, it's the exact same machine I'm using. So technically like Lego, but not.
Good one.
It's all about those technicalities.
Yeah. It is better than, like, you know, water slides and decals and stuff like that. The UV print, it's a spray ink, so it sprays over and then a UV light goes over it and dries it. It's a lot harder to take off than the Lego print, ironically.
Oh yeah, you could definitely throw bang those around a lot easier. Yeah, my kids proved that.
Yeah. So I mean, Citizen Brick, he does amazing stuff. I really like Joe. I've bought all his stuff for many years. He's a great dude. Victor from Eclipse Graphics, he does the same UV printing. He does awesome stuff, right?
And recently took over Brick Warriors.
He did, yeah.
Do you consider like BBG Forge having like some sort of niche as far as like all these other ones? Like Katon example is like mainly medieval and like more Napoleonic times. You know, Citizen Brick is like pad print. We all know them as the pad printer Lego look like, with like, you know, pop culture references all over it, you know, yada yada. Like, where do you see, oh, obviously the Brick Mania with like military stuff, Sith Doom, Minifico, blah, blah. What do you see BBG Forge at?
Ooh, you know, we've kind of, I mean, Corey and I are big castle guys. I'm a pirate guy. He's a castle guy. So we like the medieval stuff. He really wants to do his own knights.
You have some zombies too.
So we have zombies, but like we kind of do things where there's a void. So like we did Andy from The Office, right?
Good one.
You know, there's a set and there's no Andy. So we did an Andy. Our newest release was Faramir from Lord of the Rings. There was no Faramir in any sets, right? We did Jack and Rose from Titanic because there was no figs with that ship. And there should have been figs, right? Come on. You so we kind of, we just do stuff that makes us happy and we want to fill gaps where it's like, oh, I want this. We just did a Princess Bride set because we could, right? I'm old. That's how you know, right? I just dated myself. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're not that far along. No, because like when I think of like third party Lego companies, like I always refer to them to something that like I would, for example, Brick Mania, military, Mexico, Forest Moon Brick, Star Wars / military, like BBG Forge. Like I'm still trying to find that definition to. I mean, you guys are very new. Like
there's not a real specific thing. I mean, a lot of our website right now is castle stuff because my buddy loves castle, so he's done a lot of castle things, but. We have zombie stuff. We have pop culture stuff. We have modern things. You know, it's kind of, we want to just fill the void with what people want, I guess. You know, I love doing convention bricks. So we do a lot of convention bricks for people, which is great.
Plus, you make people's sig figs, like individually. You have that option on your site where you could make your one sig fig, which I think none of them do. Like
No, because it's like Victor won't even touch a sig fig for less than $500 to design. Just to design.
Oh, I know.
He's like, you're insane. And I'm like,
but he's not taking any orders anyway. So
he's not. he's too big though, right? And we're still small, and so because we're small, we can take these random jobs. And I think your sig fig order is now our biggest sig fig order. So thanks, appreciate the love.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be putting one in soon as well.
But it's, you know, yours is probably one of the most difficult. Most.
I'm sorry.
Is it for you? Is it for you, Shy?
But it's the coolest fig.
You'll get one.
It's the coolest
fig. Okay, there you go.
Do you have one on you?
I can probably grab you the proof. Hold on, let's see.
Sorry, while he's doing that, so BBG Forge is making my sig fig. I didn't get that many, so this is the first batch. It is, even though a homie, it's still pricey. I'm not trying to like get hooked up or anything like that. So, you know, it takes work. I understand the process behind it, but either way, it looks dope, and I can't wait till you guys see it.
Are you sure you want me to show this right now? You said you didn't want it shown.
It's like an hour into this episode. It's like, yay.
It's not going to focus real well.
It's so cute. Oh,
okay.
I mean,
hella blur. I mean, that's not my art. Mom's supposed to be burgundy, but it's cool.
So did you do the art or did BBG Forge do the art?
Took Shai's 3D printed fig.
Uh-huh. Let me see the back. Show the back.
Let's see. Bruh.
There's a couple proofs. Like these are all proofs. So it's
That's a smaller version.
Yeah, this is this. Like I said, we sent all the good stuff away.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I was a very difficult customer.
How many did you get?
Here's an example. So
I got 50.
Okay.
I don't know many printers that actually print on the back of legs.
No, customers. That's awesome.
Not many people do that. So that's one thing that we definitely do. Like on our knights, we'll print on the back of the knights.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Shai's shoes, all fancy.
The Chucks.
Fancy.
Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, dude, thanks, Cody and partner.
for like literally going back and forth with this, because it was always like something new that I discovered after the fact when they printed something and be like, oh, can you make that bigger? Like by 25%. Until like,
yeah, he didn't like that I did that in the moment. He's like, stop it. He's like, don't call him, don't do it live. He's like trying to design as we're talking, and I'm like, it's okay. Just hurry and make it a little bigger. It's fine.
So you're one of the few companies that do this, and it's a rarity to find a company to, one, be very patient with people, but two, you could do them as individuals, right? Yeah. You don't have to buy a whole batch.
No.
Yeah, so you can
take one big starts out at $75, and we will try to match it to your person as best we can. I mean, we try to – somebody asked me recently, it's like, will you do 3D printed parts? And I'm like, no, we upgrade Lego. So whatever Lego there is out there, we'll upgrade the Lego. But we're not going to like 3D print a different hairpiece, or unfortunately, we're not set up yet to print on arms. Too soon, I know.
Too soon? I was kind of sad I couldn't get tattoos. But no. So you're in the beginning stage of this, and for the amount of print you put all around, I mean, I've seen some of the other figs. I have the Blue Knight. The Crusader Knight. I'm not sure which one it is. Yeah. So I have that one, and courtesy of Sens. And then, like, it's, you know, you're able to print like literally 360 print like all the way around the body for the most part.
We mostly do the legs all the way around. Torso, we do front and back. Head, we can do both sides of heads. And the hat thing's scary. He wants you to know there'll be slight variation in the hat, just barely, because trying to jig a hat is ridiculous. But.
So there are tricks. I'm sure you'll get to like know the best ways to do them. Aside from getting different equipment, that just takes time and practice. Yeah. It took the other companies like Eclipse or Victor or Brickmania or.
Oh yeah, they've all been around. Nine. Yeah, they've all been around now like 10 plus years, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it takes time to do something like this. It's not like around you figure it out and you got it. Look at K-Town. He now has his own. I don't know if you guys saw it. Like, have you guys seen K-Town's like new spot? He like moved out of his downstairs basement of claustrophobia into like a warehouse.
Yeah.
So he's doing some pretty big things now. He's getting to pad printing, but he's been doing it for a couple years now. So if this is the beginning stages of BBG Forge, sky's the limit. Like if you really want to put a lot of like money into it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the thing. I guess that's the difference between me and the others is I care to give someone something they want because I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure everybody's happy and having a good time. If I make money along the way, that's great, but I didn't need it, right? I mean, it'd be cool to replace my day job, and it may get there, but it's not.
Yeah, these other companies doing, you could do it too. And with the way Lego's projecting as far as like fandom and popularity, there is huge potential.
Yeah, I'll be more excited when I'm like at Chicago and I see you giving your sig fig to somebody, trading somebody, and then they'll be like, oh, that's what I needed right there. That's all I needed. That's...
Yeah, so I'm excited to get those. Thank you again ahead of time.
Wish they would have been there sooner, but custom work takes time.
What am I going to do with all of them right now? I'm just going to say,
we'll
look at them.
Yeah, you can't rush art.
I got like 12 extra torsos. You got those in there, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool. Just to make like my original 13 bikers in my motorcycle club.
He's like, is that why he's doing that? I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's doing it for his gang. I get it.
Yeah, for sure. Like. So they're gonna take over the city. It's gonna be funny. I showed some of my guys in my club and they're like, dude, I want one.
that's
you're gonna pay me for this one, bro.
Oh yeah. So, totally charge your friends. Like,
yeah.
$20, man. $20. Yep.
Yeah. Still a good price.
You know, we want to get more into your your company. We'll probably have to bring you back. So we're gonna definitely talk about that. The convention definitely was a huge point. I didn't know you were in charge of Slopes.
There's too much convention
time. Yeah, that was a complete like new thing to me. I knew you were like one of the heads. I just didn't know that was your baby.
I brick around like I told you too much.
I love it.
So I guess it's a good time to kind of put a pause into it. Cody, do you have anything you want to plug, say, share?
I guess I will plug Brick Slopes. So, come see me. Like I said, I'm the swaggiest con, king of swag, August 24th through the 27th in Utah, Sandy, Utah. It's about 20 minutes from the airport. Hotel rates really cheap, $114 a night. Nice. No big deal. Mm-hmm. It's summer. It's nice here. We meet at the hotel. After hours at the convention, we hang out on the patio, drink, have a good time. It's delightful.
And it's not all the way on the East Coast.
and it's not all the way on the East Coast. No, you guys could drive here.
You could actually drive there comfortably. I could, yeah. All right. Well, what about BBG Forge? You're not going to plug that?
All right. Just BBGForge.com. Super easy. There it is.
That's what I was waiting for, the website plug.
Sorry. I'm good at this. I'm so good at it.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's roll that music. Thank you again, Cody. Yeah. Have a good night, everybody. Peace.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Now I feel like I have to go there now.